Welcome back. I tell you, I missed everybody. We had a wonderful house church and really enjoyed the singing and just being close in the small group. But I love, you know, being with all of you guys. And it just seems like it's been a long time. I don't know if you're feeling the same way. But it is good to be back. What we're doing is we're starting a new series. And today, what I want to do is introduce to you what this series is about and kind of set the framework for how this is going to go. And if technology works, that will be a good thing. All right, so first of all, we're calling our series the Red Letter Series. What in the world is that? You know, what is the Red Letter Series? Well, the term red letter refers to the Bibles in which the words that Jesus spoke are written in red. So, obviously, we're going to do some concentration on what Jesus said in our series. But how did this Red Letter Series come about? Well, it was invented by a man named Louis Klopsch. That's obviously a German name. He is a German immigrant that came to the U.S. in the late 1800s. And he came up with the idea of creating the Bible where the words were in red that Jesus actually spoke. And that was mainly focused on Jesus' words while he was on the earth. So you won't see that in Revelation. Okay? So he was the editor of the Christian Herald magazine in 1899. And he first published that in 1900. And this Bible, when it became published, was very popular. And it's really interesting because how he came up with the idea is he was reading Luke 22:20. And in Luke 22:20, it says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which I shed for you." And that got him thinking. The New Testament in blood, red. Okay? So this inspired him, and he still wasn't sure about it, so he asked his mentor what he thought of printing the words spoken by Jesus in red, and the mentor replied, well, it could do no harm, and most certainly could do much good. So does anyone have a red letter edition with them today? Still popular, isn't it? I do too. So it's cool. It was a little bit of trivia. I had no idea. You know, somebody has to come up with everything, right? I'm glad he did. So what's going to happen? Well, first of all, this is a five-month series. You know what? We can't even in that length of time begin to scratch the surface of what we want to talk about. So what we're going to do is actually, and it would be really unfair for one guy to have to do all this, you know, I couldn't commit to 5 months every Sunday doing this. And so what we're going to do is have Steve Collier, Gary Robertson, Alan Rouse, and myself teach it on a rotating basis. So I'm very excited that we actually got together and we kind of had a draft. And we started saying, here's what we want to talk about. And we went around and around and around until we filled up the time that we had allotted. And we're very excited about us because everybody got to do what they wanted to do for the most part. So we are just fired up about it. And it's going to take some work, but I tell you, this has an opportunity for us to have a life-changing experience. So what's going to happen? We're going to talk about some of these subjects. This isn't all of them, but this is some of them. What we're going to talk about is knowing the Scriptures, having effective prayer and unity, being born again, the grace of God, fear of man, unworthy servants, repentance. We'll talk about the little ones. Jesus spoke of the little ones. Jesus' call to follow me, the kingdom of God, sin, faith, obedience, wealth and money, and who am I? If you recall, there are many places where Jesus asked, who am I? So that is something to look forward to. So what we want to do right now is look at the Word. Turn to John, the first chapter. We're going out of the red letter to begin with, and we're going to start with John 1. And we're going to read the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me has surpassed me, because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. For although the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him." We'll stop there. This is one of my favorite chapters, and it is incredible. What we see in John 1 is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see Jesus called several things in this chapter. Another one was that he was the light of men. We learned that through him, all things were created, that nothing was created without him. We learned that the world did not recognize him, that his own people did not receive him. But all those who did believe in him, he gave the right to become children of God. That is incredible. Let me mess with technology here a second. In John 1:14, we see that the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. This is so important to lay the groundwork of John and what we'll ultimately do is the words of Jesus. Is that while he was with God and the world was created through him and he was present at all of creation, Jesus took on flesh. And he came here and he lived among us and he became our light. In John 1:18, we see that no one has ever seen God. This is why Jesus came. One of the reasons he came was that we could see God through him. We could look at him and he revealed God to us. It's incredible. Let's look in Jesus' own words. Turn to John 12. And we'll start in verse 30. Is everybody all right out there? Boy, we are quiet. Did I get us too serious here? Okay. Jesus responded, "This voice came not for me, but for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." In verse 35, "The light will be with you only a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness doesn't overtake you. The one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. What we begin to see is the incredible impact of Jesus' direct words to us. Here he is talking to people who were struggling in believing in him, who were struggling in accepting what he had to say. And what he tells them is he is the light. And they need to come to the light before it's gone. Come to the light when you have the opportunity to come to the light. And what we'll have the opportunity in this series is to look at things that will help us come to the light, to remain in the light, to increase our faith, to increase our convictions about what Jesus said, who he said he was, and what we should be doing. In verse 37, the Bible says, even though he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. But this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, who said, Lord, who has believed our message? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? This is why they were unable to believe, because Isaiah also said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they would not see with their eyes or understand with their hearts and be converted, and I would heal them. In Jesus, we have the prophecy fulfilled, but we're human. They saw flesh. They saw a man. They saw a man that there was nothing in particular special about in his flesh. He wasn't, from what we know, all that handsome or all that tall or his stature, that's the reason why someone should accept him or listen to him. But here it says he had performed miracles, and that wasn't enough. It seemed that no matter what he did, it wasn't enough for some to accept him, and it was fulfilling the prophecy that we see in the Old Testament. So what does Jesus say in response? In verse 44, Jesus cries out. He's frustrated. He's done these miracles. He wants men to be saved. And he cries out in a loud voice, the one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself, who sent me, has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak. I know that his command is eternal life. So the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Amen. In John 12, we need to understand that what we do with Jesus' words, we are doing with God's words. It's the same. We have this word, a record of what he said and did, so that we would have an understanding of what God's word is to us to live by. And I hope that we all believe that. And I believe at the end of this series, we will have a deeper understanding and faith that that is so. We need to have a clear understanding that what Jesus taught, those words will be our judge. He says, I did not come to judge the world, but I came to tell you. I came to bring salvation. I came to save you. I came to teach you what God wants you to know so that you might have eternal life. However, those things that I share with you, that is what will judge you on the last day. We must have a clear conviction that the word of Jesus is the word of God, and that we will be accountable for those words. Jesus spoke just as he was told to speak. We have everything that we need to know that God wanted us to know. I'll say that again. We have everything that God wants us to know through what Jesus said. And we, again, in this series, there's so many topics. There's so many. The depth of what Jesus spoke about is so deep that we can barely scratch the surface. But we are looking at getting into some of those things. I think what struck us as we were preparing for this, and as we can continue to prepare for this lesson, this series, is the fact that Jesus was so strong. I mean, when you get back to it, He is so strong in His words and what He wants us to know. He doesn't compromise. He doesn't water it down. He says exactly what He means, and He says it to apply directly to our hearts so that we will pay attention. He doesn't want us to ignore the Word of God because that is eternal life. So today is just an introduction, looking at some of the things. This is just a few verses that Jesus said in chapter 12 and what John said about Him in John 1. We have a lot to look forward to in this series. So what we're going to do is, this is a short class this morning. We're going to be breaking in just a little while to get our kids in just a few moments. But before we do that, let's pray.